This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we're going to begin today with Boston Police Commissioner William Evans. He's live in our studio, and there's a lot to talk about, from a recent gun buyback program in Boston to last week's five-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook school massacre to efforts by Republicans in Congress to push a concealed carry reciprocity bill. We'll talk about what that is and why people like Bill Evans say it would undermine the state's gun laws. And Commissioner Evans, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's always good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. Nice to be here.
And we want to invite our listeners into this conversation. Do you have questions for Police Commissioner Bill Evans? He's happy to take them. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Commissioner, let's start with this gun buyback program, which happened last week through the weekend. What happened? How did it work out?
Well, we had different communities. We had Worcester and other communities around New England who were all part of Mayor Walsh's regional gun summit. You know, we've had several meetings. So we did a gun buyback the other day in different states and in different cities. And I think at the end of the day, we had close to 1,000 guns off the street in New England, and in Boston we had 64 taken off, and some of them were rifles, some of them semi-automatic. So, you know, from 10 to 4, that's pretty good production, you know. And I always say, you know, it's 64 less guns out in the street or in people's homes where young kids can get their hands on them. You know, people, and we know, you know, a lot of suicides with guns just left lying around. So
is that a good number, though? I mean, you're going to hear some people sort of push back and say, well, you know, gun buybacks, people are just going to sort of give you guns that they don't really care about, or the lesser guns. Right. I mean, does it make, I mean, how do we know that it's making a difference?
Well, I can tell you, you know, one gun in the hands of a young child can end up in tragedy. And when Mayor Walsh and myself were newly created in our positions, I mean, I always remember going to a call on Morton Street when a 14-year-old playing with a gun in the house, left unattended, shot his 9-year-old brother. So when I look at instances like that, if that gun wasn't there, and you know, maybe that tragedy wouldn't have happened. And that's why we have a lot of programs in the city to try to prevent that. You know, we sent a letter to all the registered gun owners in the city asking them, if they don't want their gun, we'll buy it off you. If you're going to keep it, we'll give you a gun lock. And the requirement, if you're going to sell it, you got to go online and record that. Because one of the biggest issues with us is always tracing the true owner of a gun. So we're doing a lot of things to try to prevent tragedies like that one we've seen on Morton Street.
We are talking to Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Jamaica Plain with a question. Hey, Sarah, you're on the air with the commissioner.
Thank you. I was wondering how Congress could pass a law on what basis that would pertain to the states, since, as I understand it, it's just regulating commerce that that Congress can pass laws that affect states.
So, Sarah, you're calling about the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, Commissioner, let's just give the listeners a little bit of background. So the House passed this bill that it was essentially require states like Massachusetts, and correct me if I've got this wrong, to honor a gun permit, recognize a gun permit from any other state.
Right,
so correct. We have strict laws in this state, a state like, I don't know, Texas or South Carolina, not so strict. Massachusetts would have to recognize that. It
right.
passed the House. It's going to the Senate. What's your feeling about
this
bill?
Well, it's real troubling for me. In fact, there's 12 states out there that you don't even need a permit to carry, and they don't even do background checks on you. So if that was the case, any of those 12 states, based on their regulations, could carry a gun into Massachusetts. You know, we make sure anyone who wants a gun in our city, they have to give, or in our state, have to give a valid reason why they want it. They have to pass a firearm safety training course, as well as live fire. You know, we have strict requirements that you need to have certain training requirements. You can't have domestic violence in your background, any issues. You can't have any type of violent felonies. In a lot of these states, you can be teenagers and actually possess guns. So the last thing we need in our state and across this country is loosening up the gun laws. Every day in our country, we probably lose close to 100 individuals due to gun violence in our state. You know, look at a state like Chicago. Close to 650 kids shot or adults shot this year. Almost 3,500 shot. It's like a war zone. So the last thing we should be doing is making guns more readily available so people can cross state lines into states like ours who have tough gun laws. And we have the lowest amount of gun fatalities of any state, and that's because of our tough laws.
And just to be very clear what a law like this would do. So, I mean, let's just game out a situation. So you put a lot of effort, for example, into setting up security around the Boston Marathon, right, for example.
Right.
So this would allow somebody from one of those 12 states who's carrying a concealed gun to come right,
sure,
into that area. There's nothing,
yeah,
you could do to stop them, right?
No, right up along the barrier line and, you know, any special event, whether we have a free speech rally down on the Common, which have been very contentious, and I thought our officers did a great job of keeping people apart, but any public event, walking through Copley Mall or through Quincy Market, the last thing we need is people to have guns or a fight at Quincy Market or at any one of our bars. Like last night I was reading New York City, right in the middle of Times Square, a bar fight, and one guy shot another one, a 27-year-old dead. So, you know, unfortunately, people don't fight anymore with their hands. And if we have guns in everybody's hands, we're only going to have more tragedies.
Well, Commissioner, let me play you a little bit of tape. This is sort of a pushback to your argument. Jim Wallace of the Gun Owners Action League here in Massachusetts, that's an NRA affiliate, says the law would protect Second Amendment rights of legal gun owners moving across state lines. Here's a bit of what he said.
They never committed a crime in their life, maybe never even had a traffic ticket in their life, but because they crossed the state border, they're suddenly a felon and their life is destroyed. And that's simply wrong. We can't do that in this country anymore.
And this is the argument that you hear again,
yeah,
and again from the NRA, right? So, you know, why should we prevent law-abiding citizens from moving across state lines from one state to the other?
Because some states don't have practically any regulations to carry a gun. Now, it's like, if that's the case, then we're only going to have more issues. I've said before, 12 states, you don't even need a background check.
Right.
You know, the NRA worked hard against the national database so we can check out people's records in across the country. So, you know, the NRA is always going to be pro-gun. You know, all our arguments. And I always say the NRA, most of their membership, I bet if you look, none of them live in the inner city like
mm-hmm.
we do.
Mm-hmm.
None of them see the tragedies. None of them deal with the families on the streets. And, you know, you can live out in the suburbs and in some of the countryside. But I think if you live in the inner city and you see the tragedies, you see how many guns and the damage they do, I think you'd change your perspective like Mayor Walsh, like myself, in residents who have to live in these neighborhoods.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK if you'd like to ask a question of Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans, who's with us here at Radio Boston. Commissioner, last week, last Thursday, marked a really sad anniversary, the fifth anniversary of the terrible attack at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, where 20 children, six educators were killed. Speaking of this and the availability of guns, what were your thoughts on that anniversary?
Well, it's sad. It's sad that even after that, we haven't made any progress towards making ownership or possessing a handgun or the availability any harder. You know, we've had tragedy after tragedy, whether it's Las Vegas, Orlando. Mm-hmm. I read a statistic in the Globe last week. Since Sandy Hook, 6,500 children under the age of 17 have died as a result of gun violence. Over 30,000 wounded. So it's sad. Initially, for the first couple of days, everyone screams about, we got to get harder, we got to harder, but we haven't done anything. So I think Sandy Hook brings back how much damage handguns can do, any type of guns can do on young children, older children. It doesn't matter. Look at Las Vegas. I mean, the amount of people who have to go through the Christmas season with the memories of not having that loved one there. You know, this does substantial damage to our society. And so that's what Sandy Hook brings back, the tragedy, losing those young children, and the fact we haven't woken up to all tighten up on guns in this country.
It's true that since then there have been all number of mass shootings. I mean, the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. You mentioned Las Vegas, Sunderland Springs, Texas. the shootings of those congressmen playing baseball outside of Washington, D.C., on it goes. I want to just ask you about this, because what's your response to the argument against tougher gun control by people who, you know, use this line that the best defense against a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun? And in fact, we heard that last June when that gunman opened fire on that congressional baseball practice. And someone from the NRA just made this argument to me the other day that some of those congressmen on the field and their staff members were actually licensed permit holders, but because they were in suburban Virginia, they weren't armed. And so they were helpless when this guy opened fire on them.
I mean, they can give one good example. I can give you a million bad examples. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they want to use that one particular case, I can give you, you know, thousands of why we shouldn't have them, because these young kids in the inner city, unfortunately, get their hands, a lot of them, on legal gun owners whose houses are broken into. I continually read these reports every day when we get the guns off the street, and they're taking from, you know, house breaks out of state, and they're making their way here into Massachusetts. So, you know, I know you're always going to give that argument, but I can give you 1,000 times over why we shouldn't have them.
All right. Let's go to Tyler, who's calling from Nashua, New Hampshire. Tyler, you're on the air with Commissioner Evans.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. I'm a Massachusetts National Guardsman. I recently moved to New Hampshire because Moore Healey made me a felon last year because I owned a rifle. But my question is, this proposed national reciprocity would just be making each state support Article 4 of the Constitution of the United States in recognizing other state licensures. If we really support, if we're really against national reciprocity, I swore an oath to the Constitution, you swore an oath to the Constitution, why don't we have our legislators propose a constitutional amendment rather than just continuing to ignore Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for your service, obviously, first of all. I commend you. You know, I had three brothers who went off to Vietnam, so I commend you for your service. But you know what? Again, it's very much a safety issue in our city. I'm not against people from legally owning their guns, but they have to go through a stringent, requirement to get it. As we said, 12 states don't even do background checks on individuals. So you're going to have people who might have mental health issues getting guns. You might have people with domestic violence issues getting guns. You might have people with violent criminal backgrounds getting guns. So, unfortunately, with a system like this, we won't be able to vet out those people. I'm sure you're well qualified, and I thank you for your service again. But unfortunately, there's going to be people across this country who have no business getting a gun, getting it, if we don't hang tight and let the individual states monitor who's going to get their guns. Everyone in Boston who wants a license to carry concealed, I get to review. And if they don't have a legitimate reason for wanting to carry it, then we're not going to let them carry it.
Hmm. We should point out, too, when folks talk about a constitutional right to carry a gun or to bear arms, that the Supreme Court, even the Supreme Court that has made favorable decisions about gun rights, has recognized the right of government to regulate.
That decision just came out.
Yeah, that decision just came out. So by placing regulations on who can carry a gun and under what circumstances isn't a denial of the constitutional right to bear arms.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to Susan, who's calling from Newton. Susan, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say something similar to what you said, because the argument from anti-gun control folks is that it's my Second Amendment right, my Second Amendment right. Well, it's doubtful in the first place, but even if you accept that, no right is absolute. You can't, you know, do anything you want just because it's a Second Amendment right. First Amendment right doesn't mean you can say anything at any time to anyone. So I think we need to speak back to that and say, yes, you may have that, but it's not absolute, as you just said.
Susan, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Commissioner Evans, I'm wondering, you mentioned with all of these mass shootings, and we sort of set the date there at Sandy Hook 5 years ago, and yet the mass shootings continue and no action at the federal level. What would be the one most important piece of federal action? Now, if you could go down to Washington and say, hey, guys, you know, get it together, do this one thing, what would it be?
Well, honestly, I wish they all would establish the regulations that we have in our state, where everyone who wants a gun, there's a good background check. They're basically scrutinized to whether they're a capable person, mental health checks. And I think that's something we're always looking for, that national database and those, the mental health check. Because, I think Mayor and I've always said we're not against people legitimately having the right to bear arms, but we just want to make sure that there's a national standard for criminal background checks and there's mental health checks. And I think that's the number one priority that I wish the federal government would adopt. So we all have a tough sort of zero tolerance approach for making sure they get in the hands of rightful, proper people.
I want to move on to a couple of other issues while we have you. Let me ask you about this. On Friday, you signed a legal brief supporting the Deferred Action or Childhood Arrivals Policy. That's DACA, the program that allows some young immigrants who are brought to the country illegally as children to get work permits and get a reprieve from deportation. The Trump administration is trying to get rid of DACA, saying it's unconstitutional. Why do you think it's important?
Well, I think it's important because a lot of these young kids were brought over at young ages and from no fault of their own, they've established themselves here. They've been educated here. They've become part of the community. And, they've shown that they're productive citizens. And just because of, a new policy, the fact that we will not renew their permit and ask them to leave, I think it's just not right. I mean, we work very hard with our immigrant population, especially in East Boston, where we have a lot of Central American kids. And, to make them afraid of the police, and we've had built some strong relationships, I just don't see the rationale for doing it.
Have you seen evidence of that? Because that's what I wanted to ask you, the link, how it affects law enforcement efforts in the city.
Well, I can tell you, when we were last year, we had, we had MS 13, 18th Street gang issues. And, it's very difficult to make inroads with immigrant populations because of the whole immigration issue. If they think we're the immigration police, then they're not going to report crimes, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're not going to be witnesses for us. They're not going to think that the police are their friend. And it erodes the whole trust between us. And no one works harder and stronger to build strong relationships within the Boston police. And, I know we hear the horror story occasionally of one illegal immigrant committing a crime, and that's highly put out in the papers. But there's so many good people who are so productive members of not only the city but across the country that I think it's unfair to have a blanket policy that everybody who's in this program should be kicked out.
As the Trump administration has taken a more hard line on immigration over the past year, have you seen changes in policing or had to oversee sort of changes in policing because of it?
We haven't changed our policy one bit. I always say we're not a sanctuary city like people sometimes like to think we are, because if someone commits a violent crime in our city, then we're going to cooperate with ICE and we're going to turn them over. So, I think we continue to build a lot of respect, a lot of trust with our community. I've always said we're not the immigration police. So I know the dialogue out there has been tough on the national level, but I haven't really seen it impact the job we're doing. And we're continually trying to reassure, especially a lot of our immigrant population, that we're here for them. And if they need anything, don't be afraid to contact us.
All right, Commissioner, we've got another caller. Tommy is calling from the North End in Boston. Tommy, you're on the air.
Thank you. Commissioner, I wanted to thank you because I really feel that you are showing some real leadership in, our gun issues in Boston. However, I also think it is important to throw into these Second Amendment discussions whatever happened to my right not to have to be shot.
Right,
Tommy. It's. I see where you're coming from there. What do you think, Commissioner?
Well, again, I don't. Put more guns on the street. Mm-hmm. that we're all going to be safer. I see these fights at night at clubs, where, whether it's in Boston or anywhere, that normally would be with people's hands and fighting it out. The availability of more guns just leads to more violence. I don't care what you say. I mean, you can have a gun in the North End, but let's say you have a young child who puts their hand on it, or, you know, someone's drinking alcohol, or there's a domestic dispute, and a gun comes out. There's a lot more tragedies with guns hanging around than that one, that one instance where someone is the king in their castle and they kill someone. But more frequent than not, there's more tragedy because of a gun house in a house than the instance where you are. Now, the North End, knock on wood, that's probably one of the safest parts of the city. I don't think you need a gun or anyone for most of the city. Crime continues to come down in the city. This year, violent crime is down 6%. Yeah, we have pockets of violence in some parts of our community, but we're working hard to get the guns off there. But, you know, we're making tremendous strides to keep and make this city a safe city.
Tommy, thanks so much for that call. I want to ask you a little bit about the body cam pilot in Boston. Back in September, the Boston Police Department finished a year-long pilot program fitting some police officers with body cams. 100 officers and 8 command staff wore cameras. The preliminary review of that program is expected out by the end of the year. Can you give me any sort of early sense of how you think it went?
Well, I've said I thought the program went real well. Initially, it was 6 months, but, you know, we sort of had it set up so it was the colder months, which were our slower months. So we extended it for the whole year to get a good snapshot of the whole year. And we had 100 officers wear them, 100 not. And from all indications, you know, it was a successful program. So the officers didn't mind wearing them. I know we got a lot of good video footage that we were able to use in a court of law when we, for instance, had a gun arrest. We were able to document that. I've always said the program seems to be going great. The only issue is I think it's like $26 million over 3 years to get this program going. And so the cost benefit is something the mayor and I think the city council and all of us are going to have to realize. But honestly, we don't have a whole lot of use of force, knock on wood, in our city. Our officers do a great job, and we don't have a lot of complaints. But I think that's what we're going to measure. And I'm hoping by the first of the year, we'll have out those preliminary statistics. And I'm sure, you know, we have low numbers anyway. So, you know, that's what we'll measure, the complaints and the use of force.
Before this pilot program began, I remember talking to you about one of the concerns that you raised. I mean, you weren't necessarily saying I'm against it, but you raised the concerns that it might inhibit sort of some of the soft skills of police work.
Sure.
I mean, putting an arm around a kid who might be on the verge of committing, doing something bad and saying, hey, pal, let's talk this out. And obviously, filming that might inhibit those kinds of conversations. Do you still have those concerns?
I do, because I've looked at other communities that have done this study. You know, I looked at, Las Vegas recently completed a study. And basically what their study showed was, yeah, complaints went down a little bit and use of force went down.
Yeah.
But what went up was the amount of motor vehicle violations and their amount of arrests. So by taking away some of the discretion of the officers, I think their arrests went up by 6%. So that's troubling to me, that if we want to give someone a break, the fact the cops will be afraid to because it's on camera, that bothers me. You know, we've been down the last 3 years 30% in the arrests in the city. And I'm just afraid that's one drawback to it. I see all the positive benefits, but there was also a study done in Washington, D.C. that just came out. And they had, I believe, 1,000 cops wear the cameras, 1,000 didn't. Hmm. And at the end, they said there was no change in behavior whatsoever. So
interesting.
So the results are across the board on this. We're going to wait to see how our results come out. And then, obviously, it's going to be up to the mayor and it's going to be up to the community. But I know from a police standpoint, it's been all positive.
Commissioner, we're really out of time. We've got maybe 30 seconds left. I want to just ask you one final question about 2018. What's the BPD's big issue, concern? What are you hoping for 2018?
Well, my biggest concern, it is every night before I go to bed and whatnot, is that all my officers are safe. And number two, that, you know, no one gets hurt in our city, especially by gunfire. That's how I like to measure my success. You know, crime has continued to go down in the city. Unfortunately, the senseless shootings are what we have to stop. And I hope 2018 is a peaceful and very safe year for all residents in our city and across this country.
Well, amen to that. Let's hope for a peaceful 2018. Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans, thank you for your work. Thanks for coming in for today. We're very grateful.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone.
Merry Christmas and happy holiday to you as well. Stay with us. Coming up, Pat Purcell, president and publisher of Herald Media, joins us to discuss the sale of the Boston Herald. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.